Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And we are live at Tolbert Garage Door here in Mesquite right off of 30. We have a Tolo back window decal for you if you'd like to swing on by. They're also taking Toys for Tots donations, unwrapped toy over there in the bin. You got the U.S. Marine standing by ready to take your donation and salute you and thank you for your commitment to the kids. Man, they need those toys. It's Christmas. All righty. Yeah, let's talk about top reasons for failure last night. I was so bummed at that when that final turnover happened. I just turned it off and immediately went to my bed, pulled up my laptop, and started watching draft prospects. Started watching dudes
just immediately.
Now fast forward to this afternoon. I'm somewhat intrigued by the idea of beating the Vikings and, you know, having the Eagles lose and, you know, imagining a scenario where they still lose. They just need to lose three games. And you got to run the table here, which is somewhat manageable. So is it pathetic? Is that pathetic of
no,
me?
No, it's not pathetic.
To be thinking about the playoff chances? Our guy Greg over here, the Tola, met him at the break, gave him a back window decal. He said, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, the hopium stuff.
Let's just get the year over with.
And that's probably what will end up happening. You know,
sure.
It'll end up being that way. But
90% chance, 91.
There was something about these last 3 weeks, these last three games. It wasn't even 3 weeks. We didn't even get that far.
There you go.
It was so much fun. You know, that joy. I was so happy. It was the hope. It was the optimism. It was like, gosh, this team might actually have a chance. And when you get into those moments, like, that's what being a fan's all about. Now, unfortunately, as a Cowboy fan, we do this all the time, and it ends in severe disappointment, and often your heart being ripped out and just broken to a million Cowboy pieces.
Thank you.
But we get back up. Like Rocky Balboa, and we want some more.
That's right.
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad. And we can take it, right? We can go round after round.
That's what
after
we
sign
up for.
Because we're built for this. And eventually, which might never happen, I might die and never see it. And gosh, that would hurt. I guess I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be here. But you'd like to think eventually it'll go our way.
Yeah, I don't know if we are built for it, if we've been conditioned by it by three decades of suffering just to kind of know how to roll with
it
and make the most of it. But I was in such a damn good mood yesterday. To reflect on it now, I think maybe it's just because our sports seasons have really been so massively disappointing, really since the Mavs final run. You know, we're coming up on 3 years of sports disappointment. I think it maybe put me in a little bit of a sports depression, and yesterday was a reprieve from it.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything since Thanksgiving is how normal life should be as a sports fan, but it's tough. And now we're left here to pick up the pieces at 877-881-1053. There's so many different ways of talking about this. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on the corners. Like, I was so ticked off when Revel had that sequence at the end of the first half. I'm like, how is Amon-Ra St. Brown cleared? And we can't get Trayvon Diggs. Like, how is Diggs not ready after basically rehabbing for 7 weeks? He didn't miss those games because the knees were so bad. He was playing through that. He got the concussion. All of a sudden, he's out. Okay, he's going on IR. And now, you know, he's, oh, cool. You know, we're getting ready to have Trayvon Diggs back. Nope, sorry, not ready. I think this organization is being too careful, and I don't want to point fingers. I don't know who's responsible for it, but I think this organization is too careful bringing injured players back. It happened with CeeDee Lamb, might have cost you the Carolina game. You know, you saw last night Amon-Ra St. Brown, what a professional athlete with a sprained ankle can do in a week's time, right? And CeeDee Lamb's ankle, was it worse than Amon-Ra St. Brown? Was it less extreme? I don't know. But I do know Amon-Ra didn't try to come back in that game last week for the Lions, and CeeDee Lamb did against Chicago. He was like, yeah, just don't have it. And then he said, yeah, they're going to protect me from myself. Revel played one of the worst games for corner that I've seen.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, he should have picked off that ball in the third quarter if you just stick with the guy. I mean, that's I don't know. I guess he turned his head and looked at the quarterback for a split second. The receiver was gone. But if you're with that guy, that's an interception. We're going back the other way. Totally different game. The tripping on himself, the pass interference, like Revel should not be on the field for a team trying to steal a playoff spot in December.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point, and I don't think they're using him appropriately. When Broadus talks about him as a prospect and the way he was a press man corner, and you're probably not putting him in that type of position right now. But yeah, you have him out there in what is the biggest game of your season, and you're slow playing a guy like Diggs. And I don't know how much Diggs would really help you right now, but in hindsight, after watching that game, couldn't have been much worse than what those guys were doing. Even Bland. I mean, Bland was getting cooked.
I think Bland got absolutely cooked last night.
He got embarrassed.
And I know I'm a Revel apologist and all that, but
I mean, he's a rookie. There's still a bright future ahead.
Bland was far worse.
Terrible
in this game.
And he had a chance at one of his vintage undercut the ball, take it to the house pigs.
Yes.
Isn't able to make the play. The one on the sideline, though, is the worst play, where he's got Gibbs
two
yards shy of a first down.
That's going to be – you make that tackle, just knock – if you can knock him out of bounds. You're
– well,
they're
off the field.
Punting, yeah.
And I will say – big time props to Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, no, Gibbs, no, no.
His start stop and the explosiveness and all that stuff. I mean, jumps off the freaking screen.
That first round runner that was worth it, maybe.
Yeah. But
he is also a really good receiver.
Yeah. He's a great receiver. You saw that throughout the game as well. His explosiveness, like, that was a huge takeaway. If you're not used to watching Detroit Lions games, who the hell is number zero?
Yeah.
Because that dude is a freak show. But not only was it the juke where he breaks the ankles in a way that is like, I don't even know how you can come back from that. And then it's like on the other sideline, I'm going to stiff arm you, Daron Bland, to the ground. I am your daddy. And then St. Brown is beating the heck out of him. Jameson Williams. And again, that's another explosive dude with the start-stop stuff that is like next level. But Bland couldn't do anything last night other than one tackle in the backfield, which, cool. But it was just and it's not like he's a guy that you question his effort and all those sorts of things. It's just – You were undressed.
Yep. I thought the Lions ball carriers might have taken away his aggression last night. Like, he was coming up like, oh, I don't want to lose you. I'm trying to tackle you.
Yeah.
And he's at his best when he's coming downhill and, you know, trying to hit somebody. But maybe he just felt like he was going to totally whiff if he did that against that
level.
There
was a lot of that on the defense. It was a lot of let me wait instead of just attack.
Mm-hmm. And Kenneth Murray, come on.
100%. And you could see it, the difference in swarming to the football, gang tackling. Like, the Lions didn't need a lot of gang tackling because they are a good tackling team. So it was one guy gets there, you're on the ground usually. But even if not, you've got a swarm of white jerseys flying to the ball carrier. Cowboys didn't have that. It is arm tackle, missed tackle, left and right. It is waiting. Let's see what's going to happen. And then, whoop, I'm going to get just spun around or juked. It was it was definitely telling just how poor. The safeties we knew were bad. The corners had a rough night. But the linebackers, it was a bad, bad night.
For all three of those guys. And even, like, how many times is Osa getting blown off the ball? And touchdown
runs,
just getting washed completely.
Yeah,
that was the most disheartening, not even
giving your linebackers a chance.
No.
Like, that's supposed to be the strength of your team,
and
your guys are getting totally blown off the ball. And I will never, for the life of me, understand why Matt Eberflus is putting Marquise Bell in single coverage with Jameson Williams.
Did it twice.
At no point should that ever even be a suggestion.
Yeah.
And that happened twice last night. You got cooked.
Yeah, definitely. But I do think a lot of it is just not having good enough players.
Oh, like, yeah, the personnel hasn't been good. And it improved because you got Quinnen Williams, who's a badass, and it's great to have him now as a foundational building block. But that was very
demoralizing. Kenneth Murray, you identified as a guy you wanted to go get.
Yeah.
You told us in the offseason you thought he was good, and we all looked at you like, are you insane?
Right.
Osa, everybody knew it. Osa, you just paid him $20 million a year. And I don't know how much better Logan Wilson is. You know, he really hasn't showed up in a big
he's
way.
He's definitely better, but yeah, he's also not great. Yeah. You know, but he's better than what Kenneth Murray is. Now Osa's contract, I think, looking back, like he's only, I think it's the 16th highest paid defensive tackle. Like it's really not a bad contract.
I get that,
but
I get that, but you still made him like what you're one of your highest paid defensive players.
Yes.
Like this is a guy you thought, okay, we're building around
and
you.
And he has been much better with the addition of Quinn.
He has been, yes, but last night.
That was what really was upsetting to see, because that was what we pointed to as the difference.
Yes.
They were physical at the line of scrimmage. They could finally line up, and they would be the bullies and not be bullied. Well, they got bullied again last night, and it was on the offensive and defensive lines. They lost the
game. Hey, Kenny Clark, hey, man, we want this guy. Yeah. He got pushed around last night.
Yeah, so you had that side of the line of scrimmage that was disappointing. That mismatch never really materialized as the Lions were ready. You know, they felt like their season was on the line, and many of their players played as good as they can. On the other side, the fact that the Lions get, what, 5 sacks after only having one over the last couple of weeks and not really even averaging one over the last month for any game. So after watching Terrence Steele get ghosted and Nate Thomas struggle, you know, I think we all can't wait to get Tyler Guyton back. But really, I can't wait to get to next year in free agency and then in the draft to see how they address right tackle, because I think it's a big enough weakness right now that I would definitely be willing to use one of my first-round picks. So I looked up Dane's list. I jumped on there. I'm looking at the Utah guys. Is Spencer Fano?
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. So, I mean, if you have the 10th pick and he's there, I'd take him. I mean, the good news is you need linebacker, corner, tackle, right? Really bad. And maybe even edge. Like, wherever your first round pick is, there's going to be a player at a sufficient position of need. But I wouldn't rule out tackle for late April or early May, whenever we get to that first round, offensive tackle.
With this team, I don't think you ever can. You can't ever rule out an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, they might end up taking, like, what, a tackle first round and 4 out of 5.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Yours might be.
Okay, Brian's going to tell you more about special teams and that kick coverage coming up.
Yeah, I will.
At 3:40 and take a look at the film for you. Amon-Ra St. Brown playing.
It's a big surprise. And he looked – I mean, honestly –
the Cowboys went into that game thinking, knowing about the injury, that he wasn't going to play.
But all those guys, like the linemen, we thought like, okay, well, how good will they be?
They
all looked fine. They all looked really good.
They really did believe that St. Brown was not going to play in that game.
Yeah, and it had a big impact in some key moments. I don't think he was 100%, but he wasn't too far off. And salute to him for being tough. Now, the officiating was annoying. It didn't end up being as bad as I thought it was going to be when I looked at the box score at the end of the night. But it seemed like there for a lot of the second half, like you couldn't go any play and trust what your eyes had just showed you. But I thought the OPI on Ferguson 37-27 that could have been a first down if it had gone DPI. I thought that was actually fair by the refs. That was because Ferguson's left hand catches the shoulder, right?
He grabs him.
The jersey.
He pulled himself around.
Why dude reached back and hooked his hip.
Yeah.
Was because Ferguson had kind of turned his body. I think a finger caught the jersey, kind of like Pickens' finger caught the helmet.
He grabbed him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
I'll pull it up and show you guys.
I'll pull you up and then show it to you.
I don't care if he grabbed him. It was a horse-ass call.
I think they probably didn't want to give the free first down on a play where both guys were getting handsy.
Yeah, then just keep the flag in the pocket. Yeah,
that's what I that's you what know, I think they should have done. Just said no flag on the play.
The other one was
that's impossible for that crew.
The Pickens call on, you know, what was the rub route or the pick play.
Yeah.
Obvious. I mean,
he's got to fight through that.
He's trying. He doesn't block. That's the thing, though. Usually they're calling that if he's blocking and you engage before the ball's gone.
Oh, that one on the pick play. Yeah.
Like, his hands are. He's not touching anybody. He's just trying to run through traffic.
Yeah.
And I don't know really what else
he shouldn't try to sell it. He should have just kept running.
The DB did a good job of selling it. Yeah. I think that's really caught the ref's attention.
Yes. And the way that Al Michaels and Herbie reacted to it, I thought when we went to the replay, it was going to be like he had
obvious.
Redirected his path to run into the guy. But it kind of looked like he was just running a route.
Right. Exactly. And the
DB slid to the left and ended up there. I thought.
I didn't love that call. And then the hold on Quinnen Williams on the big third down. I mean, look, the holds, I get it. You know, it's tough. They didn't lose because of the penalties, but I did think it was a poorly officiated game, really on both sides of the ball. I thought there were probably some calls the Cowboys got away with that Lions fans, I'm sure, are frustrated with. We just have such an issue with consistency across the entire league. I mean, Brian, you're giving us the breakdown of every crew and nobody sees these things the same. There's an issue from week to week depending on who is officiating your game. There is not a consistency of how these games are officiated. And that's a problem.
Facts. Yeah, they need to do a better job at this. Okay, George Pickens with a struggle game. We talked with Stephen Jones at the top of the show. He said it's not a red flag. I don't think it could be. You know, you're going to have ups and downs. It's really unfortunate that in the Chicago game and in this game as well, you have drops that end up just like deflecting right to a defensive player, and it has a massive impact on the game. They went down, 18 points, 17 points after that play, just as they did against Chicago. And I thought it was effectively the end of the game, although the Cowboys rallied to get within three. They couldn't get any more stops. But five catches for 37 yards on 9 targets for Pickens. I wondered if the article in ESPN talking about how the perspective from Pittsburgh maybe got into his head a little bit.
He was a child. And
yeah, I wonder how reading that, because is it a coincidence that hours later he has his least focused game for the Cowboys? I mean, he'll talk about the game plan that the Lions had. I've seen some metrics that say he was singled covered the majority of the night. But, I mean, Dak was throwing a lot to Flannoy early. So maybe there's something to it. But I guess my thought on George Pickens would be he's not the most locked in guy. His personality is totally unique to anybody. I don't know that his attention span or his internal compass on which way is north at all times is even that functioning. I think that's part of his charm. Like, he is just a free spirit in every way, and it can be difficult to harness it. And if he's not having a good day or a good game, I don't think there's anything he or the coaches can do about it. Like, I think there's been some slander about, like, George just doesn't want it. I think that's a disservice to what mental health or focus or attention span actually is. It's just brain chemistry. And he's a different guy, so you take the ups and downs.
Yeah, and I used the word effort last night in the post-game show, and I do agree with what Jerry said. It's hard. I shouldn't have used that word because I don't know that I wanted to question his effort. The deep ball.
The third down was bad.
The deep ball is why I said that, right? Because those are plays like we've seen him, you know, extend or make
what
a play
on
the
ball. When you watched the play, what did you see?
I thought he had a chance to make a play on it, and he just he kind of pulls up.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed was, to me, he's going to sell the route like outside to buy him some space. So he gets a head fake. Mm-hmm. The one thing we all know George Pickens can do is what? Track the ball.
Right. Better than anybody.
Better than anybody. So he gives a head fake to the outside. And so now it's like he's cleared himself, and then he kind of looks up and he sees Maddox coming over. So you kind of see his eyes there. You never really see him look up for the ball. I don't think he knew.
And then he just kind of came down and landed on his foot.
Yeah, I don't think he knew where the ball was. I think he was dealing with the head fake to clear and then try to get to Maddox and get past him, the safety.
Which is a distraction, I guess, that he hasn't. He's been able to limit,
yeah,
right?
Oh, no.
Throughout the year.
It was really
like
strange.
Those are plays that he'd been making.
No, he tracks the ball better than anybody. And in that play, you could see that his eyes weren't anywhere looking up at the ball. There was a route that he ran really early in the game. Again, this was after Maddox comes into the game they're down there, and Pickens is running the inn, and it's like all of a sudden it's like he kind of like alligators the arm a little, or his hands, yeah. You know. Because I think
is that the
was,
one that was thrown inside.
Yeah, I think
and Maddox almost picked it.
Yeah, I think he was worried that Maddox was going to light him up. You know,
which is
usually,
so weird.
Yeah,
that's not what we'd seen from him.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was engaged or it was maybe distraction. It didn't look like the same player.
I'm just going to say this though about him: if you watch him play all year long, his routes are not good. He is not a good route runner.
Yes, he's not.
You can almost call him like lazy running routes. But you watch, like, I watched all of his plays. I sat down this morning and said, just give me every time he's on the field. And whether the ball is to his side or it's a run, he is not coming off the ball and doing what he needs to. But that's how he plays. Hmm. But when it's like it's determined that he might be like he's got a shot to get a corner, like on the two-point play, like he's got a shot to get – or the touchdown before to get to two-point. He's got a chance because he's going up and going to the corner. And you see like knowing that, okay, I got to go get open. If he doesn't feel like that it's probably going to be hit in his direction.
Yeah, he's not as engaged.
He's not these guy that just keeps pounding routes on somebody and like keeps working on him.
Man,
we
need route pounders, man.
Yeah.
We got to have more of them.
He could be the absolute goat if he could get figured out.
Which is, again, he's so talented, and I think there's been so much way more good than the one bad game that he put on. The problem was the timing of it.
Yeah.
It's the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
And when CD had struggled, you saw George step up, and he was the dude. Last night, I think that was happening. Well, I think George was struggling. CD was unguardable. The unfortunate part was CD gets concussed and he's knocked out of the game. So then the onus is back on George. We need you.
Well,
and he wasn't able to live up to that expectation.
What happened was Detroit's plan for him, they had one. They weren't going to let him run the slant. They weren't going to let him play. Once Lamb went out of the game, you could clearly see that they got into cover two, and then once Lamb was out, they went single high, and they shaded that safety to the side of Pickens, and so he's over there running routes against a corner and then a safety to that side, and the Lions are determined, they're like, okay, Flannoy, if you want to beat us. And I think that's why the ball kept going to Flannoy.
And it did. And I will say this, and you're right. But George is so good that I don't care what the team's doing. And I think Dak has proven this. He can be double covered. He can be triple covered. He will go up and make plays no matter what the defense is doing on him. He is that talented of a player. He's one of these guys that no matter what their plan is, do whatever you want on him. Well, he talked about it this week with that slant. No matter how they want to defend
inevitable.
It, well, he's going to find a way to make a play.
Well, this is the first time that I've seen somebody play him where they buzz that outside linebacker into that area. Like, they're like, listen, we're going to take it, whether it's Anzalone or Campbell – and to whoever's the side of the Pickens, that linebacker was buzzing into that, and I mean buzzing like going into that area where the slant could be.
Yeah.
All right, we are live at Tolbert Garage Door. More of that film gold coming from Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Tolbert Garage Door, the official garage door company of Tolos everywhere all across North Texas. We love them. And we're here all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. I gave you the U.S. men's draw in the World Cup earlier. Australia, Paraguay, and the winner of a play-in. Mexico's going to get South Africa. I think that's the opening game of the tournament. Also, South Korea and a TBD game as well. So both of the main teams here, you know, getting pretty dang favorable draws.
Is there a group of death that they've determined?
I haven't looked that far.
Okay.
I haven't looked that far.
Yeah.
There has to be considering how favorable these groups are.
Yeah.
C-Note's coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening here on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.